Good morning, ma'am. How's
good
it going?
morning. Doing good. Very good. Thank
Excellent.
you.
And what book do you have to share with us this time?
All right. I'm very excited about the opportunity to share with you my favorite leadership book, although it was not an easy decision. I do a lot of reading, and so to try and narrow it down to one book was very difficult. But after really thinking about the book that I keep referring back to throughout my career, it came from the Chief Staff of the Air Force reading list, and it's called Crucial Conversations.
What about it resonates with you?
I think what resonates with me the most is that I have felt for a long time that one of the biggest issues that we face in our Air Force is the unwillingness of people to give honest feedback, constructive feedback, to have conversations about the tough situations that we face. And this book gives you a practical guideline for when the conversation is going to turn difficult, when it's important, when it matters. How do you move through that conversation and still remain professional and get to a solution?
Why do you think it's important that people have those skills?
I think that people want to do their best. They want to succeed at their job. And if you're not willing to sit down with them and talk about the areas they're failing or areas for improvement, then you can't see them grow. And so it's very important that you take the time to have those hard conversations.
Can you think of a time in your own Air Force career where that mattered, where you had to apply those skills or those skills were applied to you?
Absolutely. I think I was fortunate in my career to be a military training instructor where I got constructive feedback on a daily basis, and people didn't varnish the truth. If there was something wrong, the correction was made, and I grew from that, and I developed very thick skin. And so it's a skill that I've worked on throughout my career. And yes, I've had to use it before where, for example, I may have had a person come into my office and they said, I'm the number one person in this unit, and they weren't. And so to be able to sit down with them and say, at this point, you're not the number one person in the unit, and here's the skills and the traits that we need from you to help you succeed and move farther up.
Can you think of a particular instance where it was applied to you that really challenged you to grow?
Yes. So at a certain point in your career, people don't give you honest feedback sometimes. They only tell you what they think you want to hear. That's even highlighted in my book. And I had someone say, hey, I have a lot of positive feedback for you, but I actually have a couple of things that I think would help you. And this was as a chief. And I was excited that somebody was actually willing to give me some feedback that was constructive, and it helped me realize maybe some blind spots I had and allowed me to grow. And I'm not going to say that I've perfected what the feedback was, but I still concentrate on it, and I realize when I'm getting into that area how to bring it back down. And they weren't afraid to give me the feedback in a way that wasn't demeaning. It wasn't harsh. It was just the facts of how something I do could be perceived.
Why do you think it's important that we remain open-minded to feedback like that?
I think that as an Air Force, and let me back up and say this book isn't only important to being in the Air Force. I think this book is important to every relationship that you have in your life, to be able to communicate effectively. So one of the things that this book talks a lot about is how we create stories in our head. Mm-hmm. So we take parts of information that we receive, and then we fill in the gaps until we've created a scenario that may be far from what the other person intended or thought was happening. So this teaches us how to go back to the facts, remove all of the story that we've created in our head, and ask the other person for the real story. For example, this is what happened. It made me think this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is that true or is it something else? And the other person can go, oh, that is not the truth. Here's what I was actually thinking. And so it just allows you to remove the emotion and successfully move through a conversation. And in the Air Force, we deal with conflict. And as leaders, you're going to deal with the higher you go in your career, the more conflict you're going to see, I believe. And the more important it is for you to have effective tools to resolve that conflict.
Why do you think it's important to kind of break those assumptions and challenge ourselves to ask each other questions?
That is a really good question. I think sometimes we live in an environment where we think that it's follow the rules all the time, no matter what. And that is important. I mean, that's a cornerstone of serving in the military, mm-hmm. is following directions, following orders that are given to you. But what we do is critical to the defense of our nation. Lethality, readiness, we cannot accomplish those things if we're not willing to raise a flag sometimes and say, I see that you see it this way, but I see it this way. And how can we use that information to come to a common solution that makes sure that we can deliver the best for our nation?
And on top of mission readiness, why do you think that ability to understand, to go that extra mile and communicate with each other is important interpersonally?
I think interpersonally, we can work better in that mission readiness and that lethality if we build a relationship with each other that's built on trust. And so if you or someone else believes that you can trust the person that you're talking to, you know they're going to give you honest feedback, then that trusting relationship allows us to work better and perform better in the unit.
And when you have that trust with people above and below you, what does that do for you personally?
That I think for me, having the ability to have people trust me and knowing that I can trust the people that work with me gives me a peace of mind in my daily work environment. And I think we talk a lot about resilience, mm-hmm. and resilience is more than attending classes and going to briefings, and it's about the way that we get along with the people we work with every day. And if you're covering up or hiding or avoiding, mm-hmm. those tough conversations that have to have happen, our resilience is diminished.
Excellent. And do you have a particular excerpt from that book that resonates with you?
I have a few. This book is tabbed, and I will say that I still go back to this book quite often. If I know I'm going to go into a conversation that I think is going to be difficult, mm-hmm. I will sit down and remind myself of the principles before I go in. But one of the things I mentioned before that's actually highlighted in this book is people who work for me filter what they say by guessing what they think I'm willing to hear.
And what does that mean to you?
For me, that means that I've got to be willing to continuously pull out from people what they're thinking, mm-hmm. and have the open-mindedness not to start with what I'm thinking, but to hear all the ideas in the room. And once they see that I'm willing to listen and that I'm open to changing my position based on all the feedback I get in the room, people will slowly give me more and more of the honest truth the way they see it. And for me to be a successful leader in this wing, for me to be able to advise Colonel Schreiner appropriately, I have to have the ground level honest truth about what's happening across this wing. And so every single day when I wake up, I remind myself that the stripes that I have on my arm mean something, and I have to take the time to effectively manage conflict so that we can be successful.
Fantastic. Were there any other sections that you liked?
I wouldn't say there's one that I would necessarily highlight, but I will say that if you take this book and you read it and then you continuously refer back to it, your mm-hmm. skill sets will improve in the area of conflict resolution. And what I've seen is a lot of people just avoid conflict altogether. And in many cases, I've been given somebody else's conflict because they don't feel comfortable dealing with it. And they're like, oh, give it to Chief McCool. She'll handle the situation. But it's a skill set we can all learn. It's not mm-hmm. something that I will say my time in basic training, my time in recruiting service has been very valuable to that effective, honest feedback as well. But it's not something I was born with. It's not something I enjoy either. But it's something that I know based on factual information and taking the time to slow down and think about what you're doing before you go into it, anybody can be successful.
So having tools like this and keeping that in your toolkit and being willing to practice and go back and reapply these things, you're only going to get better, right?
Absolutely. And I've worked with some incredible leaders who just naturally had the skill. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's natural. Maybe they sit at home and work on the same skill sets that I have to take the time to work on as well. And I've met some people in my career that are phenomenal at it. And watching them give effective feedback is something that makes me excited about the future and what we can do together.
And just one last question for you. Why do you think it's important that leaders take the time to read and explore and research and bring that to their leadership style?
That's a perfect question. You always hear that saying, leaders are readers, and I try not to say that because it just sounds funny, but it's true. There are so many situations that I am hit with on a daily basis that I've never experienced before. And every single time one of those happens, I think, how is this happening? And I've never experienced this before. But what I can go to is the lessons that I've learned from other people. Mm-hmm. And I can take those lessons and apply them in that situation. And most of those lessons I learned from reading. And so I think it's important that we don't get stuck in a rut of reading only certain types of books. So for several years, I only read leadership books. I went to that section of the library, or I went to Amazon and I Googled leadership books, and that's what I read. And then I had the opportunity to attend Air War College, and I read all different kinds of things that brought context and opened my eyes to different types of reading. So I think as a leader, or as a growing leader, and even as a follower, taking the time to read about history, about leaders that have been successful, reading stories about our Air Force, is just a great place to start to be successful. And if someone's wondering, well, how do I get started? How would I start reading? I think the Chief Staff of the Air Force Reading List and the Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force Reading List are the great place to start, because they're giving you books that they believe are going to help you in your Air Force career. And they're varied. They're not all books on leadership. Mm-hmm. Some of them are very unique books that will bring you a perspective that you may have not had before.
So having tools like this and keeping that in your toolkit and being willing to practice and go back and reapply these things, you're only going to get better, right?
Absolutely. And I've worked with some incredible leaders who just naturally had the skill. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's natural. Maybe they sit at home and work on the same skill sets that I have to take the time to work on as well. And I've met some people in my career that are phenomenal at it. And watching them give effective feedback is something that makes me excited about the future and what we can do together.